Morning, everyone. It's a pleasure to be here. I've been given the opportunity to preach this morning, and I'm excited about that. Excited about everybody being here. Just before we start, I just want everyone to just greet someone and tell them if God would give you a request, you could ask Him anything like He did for Solomon. God would ask you, what do you want? I'll give you anything. What do you want? Just tell somebody, tell your neighbor what you'll ask God. Tell him what you'll ask God if He give you the opportunity to ask Him. Seems like there's some laughter going around. Okay, cool. You all know that Solomon, he asked for wisdom. I think he didn't necessarily ask for the best thing, but God was pleased with that. I think he couldn't ask for the best thing. I think what he lacked was godliness of contentment. As he could see with the amount of wives he had and the way he went around with his finances, but godliness of contentment is not something God gives you. It's something that you have to cultivate. Let me not get ahead of myself. This morning I want to speak about born again to inherit. As all of you know, that in a good father's house, there's normally an inheritance. And the Bible says in Proverbs 30:22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. We that are born again, we that know Jesus as our Savior and as our Father. The Bible says in Psalm 27:15-14, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And it speaks about the goodness of the Lord. And the Bible says also there's none good but God. So if God is really good, and we know that our good fathers give us good things, how much more will God give us good things? And how much more if we are His children, God will leave us an inheritance. So before we even start, I want to compare our inheritance of the inheritance of the people in the world. I call it sons versus slaves. Galatians 4:28-31. Now you brothers, like Isaac, are children of the promise. But what does Scripture say? Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. So, brothers, we are not children of the slave, but of the free woman. And that really speaks of being born again. It speaks of our position in this world, that we'll be hated because we are children of God. And if we're sons of God, then we've got inheritance. And the world doesn't really like that either, that we got an inheritance. But the fact is, we do have an inheritance. And each and every child of God has got an inheritance in God. The prerequisite is that we must be born again. We must be born again of the Spirit to become sons and daughters of God. Romans 8:15-17. The Spirit Himself bears witness of our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Ephesians 1:6. In love He predestined us for adoption as sons to Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, with which He has blessed us in the beloved. Isn't that wonderful? Being a child of God, we're destined to inherit. And I'm just reminded of the prodigal son story, where he went to his father and said, I want an inheritance. He goes away and goes and squanders his inheritance. But even then, the father's waiting for him to come back. So he kind of lost his inheritance and possessions, but his true inheritance was the father's heart, and he came back and the father was still there for him. And that's really what we're going to speak about today. In the world, we can fake sonship. We can say we love our father. We can stay in the house of our father. the prodigal son's brother. He stayed in the house, but he really never had a father's heart. He was really never interested in the father. He was just interested in being faithful till the father dies, so that he can have the inheritance. And so, so God also looks at us. We can be hirelings in the father's house. We can do all the right things. We can pretend. But God really is after our hearts, and He wants our hearts. What is our inheritance? Psalm 16, verse 5 to 6. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lions have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. The true portion of our inheritance is really God Himself. He is our inheritance. He is the fullness of our inheritance. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of Jehovah came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abraham. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward." It's important. When we think of Abraham, we think of the father of the promise. We think of him as the one that had many children. And we think that is his inheritance. But before God even made a promise to him, he comes to him and says, "Abraham, I'm your Lord. I am your exceedingly great reward." So even before we receive a promise from God, even before we receive anything from God, he wants us to come to him and say, "You're my portion. You're my exceedingly great reward." James 2 verse 5. "Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which He has promised to those who love Him?" So even if you come from a place of poverty, or you come from a place of desolation, even if you maybe find yourself now in a place where you don't know where I'm going, God says, "I've got an inheritance for you." Colossians 1 verse 19 to 24. "In him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to him all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of Christ." And this speaks about the fact that in the New Testament it speaks about we are co-heirs of Christ. So firstly, God is our portion, but then we are brothers and sisters of Jesus, and we also got inheritance with Christ. So an inheritance is God, like Jesus, sitting next to the Father in heavenly places. But now we're seated in Christ in heavenly places. So everything that Jesus came to purchase on this earth, everything He came to take dominion of, that's also our inheritance. So our inheritance is primarily God. But inside of God, we've got an inheritance, and that is the kingdom of Christ that He's come to take back from the devil. And this last scriptural Colossians speaks of reconciling the world to God. And that's also part of our inheritance. It's reconciling the world back to God. I like this quote from John Piper. "Wanting eternal life is idolatry. If we don't want it, it's a means of enjoying God." So everything that we really want to attain for God in this world, everything that God's going to give us, is really just a means of extending our joy in God. It's really just a means of knowing Him more and associating with His heart. Like the old prodigal son analogy. What the father really wanted his son to say, that "I'd rather be in my father's house because I want to associate with my father's heart." And that's really what it's all about. We start to take ground on this earth. We take the kingdom by force from the beginning of time, like scripture says. We do that because that's our father's heart. It's his nature. Through his son, he's come and shown us that he's taking the kingdom by force, and we want to be like his son. We want to reign and rule with God. Also, this is an example that we can take us from the Old Testament. When Moses stood before Pharaoh to release the Israelites, what did he say? Why was the Israelites supposed to be released from Egypt? Was it to inherit the promised land? No. Moses said, "Let my people go so that they can worship God." So the Israelites only wanted the promised land. They didn't want God. They just wanted to go and possess. But God wanted them to come to Him first. Wanted them to worship God. And that was primarily the inheritance. And what a hireling does is he just goes to God for the stuff. And that's what the Israelites did. They just wanted God to provide for them. Wanted God to look after their needs. But they never wanted God for Himself. Okay. Inheritance is now and progressive. Mark 10, verse 28 to 31. Peter began to say to him, "See, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and last, those who are last will be first." See, in the world, we normally only inherit when our parents die away, when our dad dies. What Jesus is saying here is, even in this life, you've got inheritance. Even now, even in this day, you've got inheritance. But there is a warning. There will be, you need to be last, to be first, and you'll receive it with persecution. God's going to give you things that won't come easily. Ephesians 1 verse 13 to 14. "In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, which is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." So what has happened when we got saved? God has poured out his Spirit into our hearts. He sealed us with the Spirit. The Bible says he sealed us with the Spirit until the day of salvation. And that same seal of the Holy Spirit is a witness inside of us that God has got inheritance for us. I remember when I got saved, I was came from quite a difficult background. And I remember that's one thing, one of the first things I had in my heart is, "God, what is my inheritance? What have you got for me? If you're my dad now, what is my inheritance?" And what it says here is that it's progressive. 1 Peter 1 verse 3 to 4, "According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope, to the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is unperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you." So this is really, this scripture, this points to the fact that our full inheritance only comes in eternity. So we'll attain some of it on this earth. We'll attain a measure of it. A great measure. I believe God has got a great portion here on earth. But the greatest portion is really the day when we die. So if in your heart you're not saying, "Jesus, come back soon," then you really don't want your inheritance. And that's what we say as Christians. We say, "Jesus, come back soon," because we want to experience our full inheritance. We want to worship you. Inheritance is becoming. Romans 8 verse 30 to 31. "And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. Who then shall say to those things?" What then shall we say to those things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And it's interesting that what happens when we get saved, God really takes us under his wing. And for a real father, what's important for his children, it's not that he accumulate a lot of stuff to give to his children. And that's in the world we see that example. People that think they're good fathers, they never present to their children. They give their children a lot of stuff, give them a lot of gifts, accumulate a lot of things, and think their children, if I give them, then I'm being a good father. And God's saying here is, I'm interested in your character most of all. And your inheritance is mostly got to do with your character. I want you to become Christ-like. So when you get saved, he starts a process in our lives of cultivating character and Christ-likeness and growing us into his likeness. And that's really what God has got in hand. He wants to see himself in us. And that's the inheritance he wants to leave in us. So it's not just something he's giving to us, it's something he's forming inside of us. Romans 8, verse 16 to 17. "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with him." So once again, that same scripture. Suffer with him. A lot of times, we have to go through difficult circumstances. Jesus himself had to suffer before he could attain that glory in the heavenlies, before he could sit next to the Father. And a lot of times suffering, the Bible also says Christ learned obedience through things he suffered. And if you look at the example of Jesus, he was a carpenter for many years. And only when he was 13, he inherited his earthly ministry, which was part of his inheritance. But before that, he really grew in character. So even today, a lot of you sitting here and you're going through tough things. And you maybe had adverse circumstances growing up. And you might be able to say, associate that with suffering. And I just want to say, bear in there. Be strong and ask God what is he teaching you through your circumstances. And why are you going through the circumstances, and keep God as the center of that which you're going to, so that He can teach you character in that time, so that He can prepare you for that inheritance which you have. You know, we're living in an age, the Bible speaks of many ages to come. And I believe the things that we do on this earth will resonate in eternity. So if we give up on the little things, if we give up now, if we face with little challenges and struggles, then we lose a big part of what God has called us for in eternity. So I just want to commend you and encourage you. Face your struggles with God and ask Him to overcome. Okay. An example I want to hold before is David. Before he stands before God alive, he says in 1 Samuel 17, verse 33 to 35, "And Saul said to David, 'You are not able to go up against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth.' But David said to Saul, 'Your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered him out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by the beard and struck him and killed him.'" And it's amazing, David was given his father's sheep. It wasn't even his own sheep, it was his father's sheep. And he had to look after them in the desert. Nobody looked, his father didn't keep an eye on him. He was really just a steward of what God has given him. And then the bear would come, and the lion would come, and what would he do? He could just leave the sheep to be caught. Well, it would just be one sheep being killed, two sheepies. He could just leave them. He could just leave them to, because not really his own sheep anyway. But what did he do? He took ownership of his father's goods. He took ownership of that which God gave him. And he protected it with his whole life. And so it's with us as well. God looks really what happens behind closed doors. God looks at your stewardship behind closed doors when nobody else sees. When things really matter. That those things are important to God. It's not the things we can pretend and things we can show off to the world. God is really interested in our hearts and where we are at. I remember when I was sharing the other day with some of the leaders. When I was a small group leader in this church in 2008, I experienced this a very hard year. It was a very hard year for me because I felt I couldn't do it and a lot of challenges in that year. But I remember coming to the end of the year and God posing the question to me, "Would you do it again?" And that's the place where we could really bail because in our hearts we could say, "I don't want to do this again." And I said, "God, I would do this again, but because I know you would. Because I want to have a heart like you that you have. I want to look after the sheep because you would have." And it was quite a moment for me in my walk with God. Because it's really not about the reward, it's about having the heart of God. That's what I want. I want your heart, God. I want to share your heart. And even if things go adverse, difficult, I want the heart of God. Selling your inheritance. You could lose it, actually. Test it. Selling your inheritance. Hebrews 12 verse 16. "Don't be unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal." We all know the story of Esau and Jacob, where Esau was the firstborn, and God has had a plan for him, an inheritance. And in the Old Testament days, it was quite easy to inherit your inheritance. You must just be born first. So you must make sure you're the firstborn. Then you sort it. But Esau made a mistake. He thought it he could just do with it what he wanted to. So one day he was hungry and his brother said to him, I want your inheritance. He said, "Oh, fine, you have it." And that's really treating our inheritance of God with contempt. God isn't glad with that. And in our situation it doesn't work like that. It's not as clear as that. It's really how you go about that which God has given you. It's really about how do you treat that which God has given you and the promises He's put before you? Proverbs 20 verse 21, "An inheritance gained hastily in the beginning will not be blessed in the end." Some of you might be asked, "Why haven't I got my inheritance yet? Why doesn't God give it to me now?" And it speaks here about if we get it too quickly, we won't appreciate it. We won't know what God has given us. And some of you are going through tough times because God is... Yeah, he's building value into you. He's showing you the value of what he's got before you. And I just felt, Donovan, I just felt God is saying that to you. He's building some toughness into you. He's building some strength into you this time. Some of you as well, you feel you're going through tough things. God is stretching you so that you can inherit. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 11. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, an advantage to those who see the sun. See, sometimes God has to come and force some wisdom into you. He has to test you. And He wants to see if you're going to persevere and endure. And one of the good things, like you said in the beginning, Solomon asked for wisdom. It's a good thing. God says if you ask for that, He will give it to you. Ephesians 5, verse 5 to 6. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes on the sons of disobedience. So it speaks here about people outside the world, but it also speaks of those who are being saved to an inheritance. If you treat a life and you play around with sin, you treat your inheritance with contempt, like I said, then you being disinherited. James 1 verse 12. Blesses the man who remains steadfast on the trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. And this speaks again of endurance. It speaks of the way I would see it is looking at Christ. Every time things happen, when circumstances come around you, just keep focus. Keep focus on the price of Jesus Christ, the upward call. So when things really get hard for me, then God says to me, just look at Jesus. Just keep focused. Keep your gaze on Jesus, your real reward. And it also says we must be holy and we must deal with sin. Don't let sin overcome you. You must be victorious over sin. What about my legacy? What about where I come from? What about the desolation? Like a lot of us, I said in the beginning, we come from a place of maybe destruction, a place of poverty, a place where our earthly fathers didn't develop us or didn't grow character in us or didn't really leave any deposit that we are proud of. And some of us walk in a legacy, a good legacy, and a legacy of somebody's obedience, somebody that's walked in Christ before you. And if it's you, celebrate it. And if you see somebody else walking in that legacy, celebrate them. Because that's what you want for yourself and for those who come after you. And also, in terms of your shame, it's really the enemy's plan. He really wants to keep you there. He wants to keep you in your shame. He wants to keep you from inheriting. And that's just the thing about the devil. When he fell into disobedience, what did he lose? He lost his inheritance. He lost his place before the Father. And his plan really is, he cannot get his back. But the only thing he can do is keep us from having our inheritance in God. So his whole strategy, he's just angry because he messed up. So he does everything he can from you inheriting yours. And the scripture is really my favorite scripture. And the word is really sustains me. Isaiah 61 verse 7. Instead of your shame, there shall be a double portion. Instead of dishonor, they shall rejoice in their lot. And you can also say your inheritance. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess a double portion. They shall have everlasting joy. So, in the world's eyes, you might not be successful, but God has got a double portion, an inheritance for each one of us. It's going to be different for us, and it's going to look different in terms of the kingdom you're going to attain for God. But He's going to restore. And just a testimony I can share out of my life. When I was a kid, I used to like to go ride on my bike. I was quite to escape things at home and stuff. I used to take my bike and I would go ride around the farm. That was like my way of escaping. I had a lot of fun. I would build myself ramps and paths and things, and I would just go and do tricks and stuff, and that would just be fun. And I remember when I went to boarding school from 6 years old, and I remember when I was about 13. So while I was in boarding school, on weekends when I went home, things were a bit adverse at home, so I would just ride my bicycle on weekends, and this was the way of having fun. So that was quite dear to me. I remember when I was about 12 or 13 at primary school, there was the one teacher organized a bicycle race. So I thought, oh, this is my moment. I can ride a bike quite well. And and I remember going home and saying to my dad, I want to take my bicycle to boarding school so I can ride this race. And I wasn't allowed to because it was going to be unsafe. And I wasn't allowed to take my bike. And so I remember standing on the back of a bucky that day. I was a marshal, and I looked at, And so I observed this whole race to the end, and one of the other guys in my class won the race, and 5K race or something. And I just remember it was quite a, for me it was quite a hard thing. Yeah, and so for all of you, you've experienced maybe something like that, where you've experienced just being relegated and not being noticed. And it's quite amazing when I got saved about 12 years ago now, I remember what God started to do is He started to stir that passion in my heart again that I had for cycling. And I remember when I got my first job, the first 6 months, all I did is all my spare money I saved to buy a bicycle. So, yeah, I remember saving up for 6 months and then I started cycling. And I remember I was so blessed cycling because every time I was on my bike, I just experienced God. And this is something that's personal to me. It's not cycling is going to do anything for any of you. But, so I remember just cycling and God just blessed it. Within 4 months, I rode the Argus and I did really well. And God just blessed it. And I just remember then about... God just did a lot of things. He gave me a bicycle. He gave me a 60,000 rand bicycle just like that. And He just blessed it. It's like a real dad just looking after his child. Just looking after his son. Just loving his son. And then I remember it was about 2004. Namibia, they've got this cycle race in Namibia. It's called the Namibian Classic. It's like the August in Namibia. It's not nearly as big. It's only, I think, about 2,500 people. So, Eric, don't worry. They're going to take a while to get there. There were 2,500 people. And I remember, so I've been cycling for a while and I've been doing some races and things, but my family didn't really know about it. They've been know about it from the sideline and stuff. So I thought, I'm going to take my bicycle there and I'm going to show them what God has done in my life. He's given me the cycling and I'm quite good. I want my dad and my brother to see that I'm a good cyclist. So I went there. Maybe, and I said to God, I would like to win this race today. I want to win it. I'm going, and I'm not letting, this is my inheritance to win this race. And I actually forgot about that race. Only afterwards I remember that race when I was 13 years old. So I remember that day, getting on my bike and riding the race. And I'm going to just share you some specifics in the race, because this is how the enemy also works. When you're on your way to your inheritance. So about two-thirds through the race, we were going up this big hill, and I just didn't have anything in me anymore. So about 10 guys, they broke away in front, and they just sped away. I remember coming to the top of the hill, and then I said, God, I ask you to win this race. And that's how it's going to work with your inheritance as well. There's going to come some disappointments, and there's going to be some drawbacks. And you're going to see, almost like you're going to be almost there, and then you want to give up. So God said to me, just watch this. So as we turned around from the top of the hill, we came down and a few guys came alongside me and we chased back and we caught the front bunch. And about 20 k's out from the finish line, I just felt God says, you go for it. And I just remember the Holy Spirit just coming upon me. Yeah, just strengthening me. And if you ask Eric, if you're on a flat road, the last 20 k's was just flat. If you're a flat road, to ride away from a bunch is quite something. And I remember just breaking away and Jesus said to me, don't look back, don't look left and right. So I just looked ahead and I just rode. And I rode about two minutes out of the bunch and I won that race. And so on that day God restored something that the devil had stolen from me. And so it's in many of your lives. There's some areas that the devil has stolen. And God's even reminding you of that now. He's even reminding you of that now. And He's saying to you, don't give up. Just trust me. I will make that come to pass. I will restore that. I will give you that inheritance. And He says, don't be afraid. Be strong and courageous. Yeah, Christianity is not for sissies. It's going to remind the hardest things of you, but there's nothing else that rewards like being a child of God. God is going to restore amazing things in your life. And just me standing in front of you is just crazy. Because, yeah. Yeah. Okay, position yourself to obtain the full inheritance. Luke 16, verse 11. If then you have not been faithful in your unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you with true riches? Colossians 3, verse 23 to 24. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. So this is really speaking of stewardship. Every area of your life, God looks at how you steward. The small things in life is important to Him. And then it also speaks about your heart. Work unto the Lord. Everything, do it unto the Lord. Because from Him comes your inheritance. Don't look left or right. Don't look at your circumstances. Circumstances are always the most difficult things. Because circumstances so wants to disinherit you. But be faithful. 1 Samuel 16 verse 7. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as the man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. So the Lord doesn't see like the world sees. He sees your heart. And that's what he keeps in mind. And this situation was when Samuel came to the house of Jesse looking for the king. God said the king was there. His father didn't even consider David to inherit. He 11 of the 12. So he was the least of the 12 sons. He had no inheritance with his father. His father only sent him to look after the sheep. Gave him the least job. But God says, I look at the heart. So some of you, you've been the least in your house. You have had no inheritance. No hope. No nothing. Your father even cursed you in his words maybe. But God says, I look at your heart. And David was really cursed by his father. Not even being considered. And God says, I don't care, I look at your heart. 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day. And that just really speaks of the Holy Spirit. If we really want to serious about God, we really want to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. To come and guide things and to come and orchestrate. And from that day forward, David went through really tough things. But I believe because the Holy Spirit guiding him and nurturing him and upholding him and strengthening him, I believe he was able to walk into his inheritance. Because he went through some serious stuff. And the Bible says we must be daily. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he will also witness with you. Even while I'm talking to you now, the Holy Spirit is telling you what has God called you to do. And you could be 55, you could be 70 years old. Maybe there's still something God wants to do to your life. So open your heart to that. Matthew 20 verse 28. It shall be so among you, whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served but to serve and to give his life for a ransom of many. This really speaks of the heart, and it also speaks about being ambitious. Sometimes as Christians we say we must be humble, we mustn't want anything. But God says, it's good to have ambition. It's good to want to be one to be first. It's good to want to inherit. Just the way we do it is important. We don't do it by forcing ourselves, by saying we should have things. We do it by serving and by humbling ourselves and by growing in character. And in this regard, I just want to challenge us with positioning ourselves in terms of people that can impart into our lives. I remember when I first had contact with Shofar, I was at a conference at another church, 2007, and Fred May preached. He preached about something similar to inheritance. And God said to me that day, if I go into that man's church, if I become a member of that man's church, I'm going to give you your inheritance. That was the words God said to me in that day. So sometimes we need to look at people who are already walking in their inheritance. People that are already walking in a calling. That's probably the right word. And if somebody knows how to get an inheritance, the chances are you're going to learn from them how to obtain yours. So be serious about your inheritance and position yourself. I remember last year or year before, there was two people I really wanted to receive impartation from. I said to God, I want to receive impartation from them, but I don't know how it's going to happen. And this year I've received. This year, God has opened doors so that I can receive invitation from them. And I believe that's also a way how God's going to work in your life, in your inheritance. God is going to speak to people. our corporate inheritance, Ephesians 1 verse 18, having the eyes of our hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what is the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Acts 20 verse 32, and now I commend you to God and to words of grace, which is able to build you up and to give you inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Yeah. Colossians 1 verse 11 verse 12, may you be strengthened with all power according to the glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. So a lot of our inheritance is also not just individual. I've been talking about an individual God restoring. But a lot of our inheritance is really going to be restored corporately. It's going to be in the body. God is going to come and do something in the body. And a lot of what's going to come to you is going to come to a lot of people around you as well. God wants to give us a measure of His grace through not yourself, not just yourself, but for everything, everybody around you. So if you want to inherit and you're out there and you're not in a church and you're a lone ranger, then I don't think you'll ever obtain your full inheritance. I don't think you'll obtain your full portion in God, because a lot of what God has got for you is got for you in the local body. So as I spoke earlier about not treating your inheritance with contempt, not going to small group, not fellowshipping with people in the church, not coming to church, it's actually saying, God, there's other things that are more important to me. I'd rather have an inheritance in the world than with your saints. So God's saying here, I've got an inheritance for you, but it's also corporate in nature, and you cannot have it without being in the church. Possess your inheritance. Hebrews 11 verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place where he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going, by faith. Speaks about obedience. Rainer was last week speaking about hearing God's voice. God has called us to hear His voice. So God wants us all to hear His voice and then wants us to be obedient, to go and take His inheritance. I felt this scripture was especially for one of us. Psalm 110 verse 3, your troops will be willing on your day of battle, arrayed in holy majesty. From the womb of dawn, your young men will come to you like the dew. Just to go back again to what I said earlier, our inheritance is really taking the kingdom with Christ. So none of what we take. So when I took that cycle race in Namibia, what I really did is I said, God matters. God, kingdom is coming. God's kingdom came that day on my family. And so what God is saying here is, don't despise your youth. God wants to do great things amongst us. I feel that's especially for one of us. A lot of young people here, maybe insignificant in our own eyes. Not all the people as well, but especially young people. God is saying to you, don't despise your youth. Don't be afraid. I've got a plan for you. Going up the mountain, it's important. Exodus 24 verse 13. So Moses rose up with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And this is the second time Moses went up to the mountain. And it's only this week that I really saw this. The first time around, you all know what happened. Moses went up and came down the mountain, and the people had made themselves a golden calf, and they were worshipping other gods. And really their inheritance, the Israelites' inheritance, was all to go up on the mountain to meet with God. Because that's why God released them from Egypt, is to worship Him. And the same in our lives, God releases us from sin, from eternal damnation, to worship Him. It's a type of coming out of Egypt. And the same was for Israelites. He wanted them to come. He delivered them to come up to the mountain. And then the second time, Moses had to go up again because he broke the stone tablets. And it's amazing to me as Joshua, his assistant, went up the mountain with him. It doesn't say anything more. But as you all can remember, there's only two people from the original Israelites that were in the desert that went in the promised land. One was Joshua and one was Caleb. And I believe Joshua was actually kind of the major part of the good report. And I believe one of the reasons why Joshua went into the promised land is because he wanted his east inheritance. He went up to the mountain. He received from God the message that he is his inheritance and that he wants to take the promised land. So when it came to the promised land, everybody only saw the giants. And Joshua, he possibly only saw God. So he said, what are these giants compared to God? So next week, Sunday, we have a moment like that in our church. God is saying to us that He wants us to go up the mountain. He wants us to hunger after God. And I believe what we're going to experience is God. But I also believe God is going to give us some strategy of what He wants us to take. He wants to give us perspective, who we are. He wants to show us who we are. I've got a story to tell as well on that. When I just met my wife in 2007, 2008. I met her in 2007, but then also in 2008 we once went went to Namibia to our farm. My parents had a farm in Namibia, two farms, and actually my dad lost the one farm due to mismanagement and stuff, and the second farm was also going that same way. And I remember we, on the farm, we also had our bicycles, and God just gave us some strategy. So that day, we just cycled around the farm. It's quite a big farm, 10,000 hectares. So a 30K ride. We cycled around that farm, and we just claimed that farm. We say, God, this farm is not going to go as well. It's not going to be lost. And I just say, God, it's my inheritance. I'm not going to lose this. And we prayed about it. And it was quite, my family was like that. Or my father was at that time. He was in a place where he couldn't manage anything anymore. He was not in a good place. And within 6 months, God intervened. My brother helped a lot with that. And God just orchestrated things that I actually sold that farm. Because if they didn't sell it, they would have lost it. A part of that inheritance, I've actually received already as well. So God wants us to inherit. I just quickly want to say, what has God given us as Shofar Ronobos as an inheritance? God has given us to our corporate body, Shofar. He's given us a prophetic voice. So He's given us a prophetic inheritance to be prophetic about things, to be first in receiving things from God and doing things. Gatekeepers of Ronobos. He's given us Ronobos in the southern suburbs. So we need to keep the gates. We're going to start on Thursday. I just want to invite all of you. We're going to take the gates of the city. So if you feel God says this is your inheritance, then come and take the gates. Ascending to the hill. God wants us the honor shared about praise. And intimacy. I believe that's part of what's happening next Sunday as well. It's part of inheritance to have intimacy with God and to proclaim His praises to the world. City on a hill, a safe place, a refuge. God gave us that scripture to us about 2 years ago, especially in reference to the students as well. And yeah, just to play people out there. God wants to draw them to the hill, people that are in a difficult place. His presence. I believe God wants to do something miraculous. He wants to do things that we cannot do. And His presence is going to orchestrate that. He's going to come and do major things amongst us. People are going to walk into church, or into our lives, into our houses. They're just going to fall down and repent because God's presence is there. Family for orphans and the broken. Really those who are outcasts of the world. God is going to give them an inheritance in our midst. And they are our inheritance. Then there's a few things God wanted me. I felt Jeremiah 1 was 10. See, I've set you this day over nations or kingdoms to pluck down, pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. And it's really prophetic as well. And it's to restore. God has called us to restore the breach. Psalm 111 verse 6. He has shown His people the power of His works and giving them an inheritance of the nations. You guys know that in UCT, last year, we had 101 nations represented at UCT. And I believe God has given UCT to us as a church to reach the nations. So every person we reach from another nation, I believe God is going to send back there to establish His kingdom. So God has given us the supernatural to reach the nations. And Psalm 127 is free. Behold, children are heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb. God has given us. It's going to give us children. And I also just want to encourage those of you who are not married yet. This scripture doesn't just relate to natural. It relates to the spiritual as well. And God is going to add people to your life. He's going to bring people under your wing. And you're going to be spiritual fathers and mothers to them. Jesus says every tribe and tongue will confess His name before He comes back. So what we're saying is we're taking them on our wings. We say, Jesus, we want You to come back. Because You say all the nations are reached, You coming back, and we are desperate for You to come back. Just the last one, it's quite cool because Wilbur alluded to that in his offering message. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." The Bible was saying the harvest is ready, and God wants to send harvesters into the harvest. And what God is saying to us is, if you love me, feed my sheep. Yeah, and I feel in the next 6 months and the next while, this is gonna be quite an important time. Can I just get the band to come up, please? Yeah, God wants to bring in the harvest. He wants to do major things. So while we say that you are our exceedingly great reward, you are a harvest, we want to prepare our hearts for the harvest, for our inheritance. Okay. Yeah, so that's just my message to this morning. If God has convicted you during any of this, what I want to challenge us with is that God is saying, "I want to give you an inheritance," but He's also saying, "I want you to be serious about it." And if you felt in your life that through anything that I said, the Holy Spirit might have convicted you, that you've not been serious about your inheritance in God, you've not been serious about putting that before anything the world has got to offer. See, the world has got a lot of inheritances for us. The world sometimes even have open doors, massive open doors. Doors open. Doors might have opened for you to build a career, to become wealthy. The world might have opened lots of doors for you, and you might have think it's a door from God because it was an easy door. It was a big open door. But God wants to speak to you. Wants to tell you, like He said to Moses and to Joseph and to Jacob, to all of those people. He showed them their inheritance, and that was precious to them. So today, if you feel like you don't really know what your inheritance is, and you want to be serious about you, I just want to invite you to come forward. I don't want to pray for you. I want you to just speak to God. I just want to open a door for you. You guys can just minister in the word. I just want to open a door for you to just come and speak to God about your inheritance. And before we do that, firstly, what I said in the beginning is we must be born of the Spirit to inherit. And if there's anybody here today that feels all of this is a bit funny and all I shared is not really applicable to me, I don't feel the Spirit witnessing inside of me that I've got an inheritance, that I've got a God that's got a plan for me, I've got a Father who wants me to attain His likeness, I just want to open up the opportunity now of every head bowed. If you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior yet, if you haven't received Jesus as your portion in your cup, give you opportunity now. If it's you, just raise your hand. If you want to receive Jesus Christ, feel the Holy Spirit tugging there. Give you opportunity to receive Him as the God who will give you an inheritance. Anybody? See, to inherit is a public thing. God made He made a spectacle of His Son on the cross. It was never a private thing. And He died for you so that you could be His child. See, His Son. So He purchased you and He really owns you already. But He's giving you the choice. You could choose lesser things. You could have something else. Anybody that wants it? Receive Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Okay, nobody. So now I'm just gonna, for all the rest of us, if you feel God has spoken to you tonight, see God said to Samuel was, "I look at the heart." So this is really a heart issue between you and God. It's not really between you and anybody in church. Anybody else, it's really between you and God. And if you feel God has convicted you that you've treated your inheritance maybe with contempt, or that you don't know what your inheritance is, I just want you to come forward as a symbol of this speaking to God. I want to give you the opportunity to speak to God in your own time. And just with that, I just want to close up the service. You just take all the time you need. You come and speak to God. You speak to Him, you ask Him, "What is your inheritance?" I'm just going to keep a few facilitators around as well. If you want to pray with somebody after that, speak to somebody.